And our Bible reading is Matthew chapter 16, starting at verse 24. Then Jesus told his disciples, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world but forfeit their life? Or what will they give in return for their life?" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your kingdom revealed to us uniquely in your life, your death, your resurrection, and one day your return. Lord, help us to think this morning about what it means to have you as king of our lives and king of the kingdom. Amen. Well, last week we started our new teaching series, beginning this deep look at the kingdom of God, about how Jesus comes in order to establish God's way of doing things as kind of like the ultimate plan for our world. That in the words of the Lord's Prayer that billions of Christians say each and every day, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And over the next five Sundays, we're going to take a deeper look at individual aspects of the kingdom, particularly this notion that Jesus flips everything upside down, how he takes many of our assumptions about how things should be and inverts them, and why that this is an important idea in the kingdom. And each week has kind of like a little sort of phrase or simple idea to unpack, and this week's is this: the world says, "Be your own king." But Jesus says, "I am the king." And I want to take a few minutes to look at that phrase, "The world says, be your own king," and Jesus says, "I am the king," through the lens of IKEA flat pack furniture. See, when you buy something from IKEA or somewhere else that's flat packed, you've got two choices. You can follow the instructions to make your set of drawers or whatever it is, or you can completely ignore the maker's instructions and do it your own way. And which we all know, kind of probably at best, probably some of the gents I'm speaking to this morning, I'm sure, is a bit of a mixed outcome. And even if you do end up with what it is supposed to be, it usually might have taken you a lot longer to get to that point than it might have done otherwise. And what I'm trying to get at, I suppose, with this is that we live in a society where the "do it your own way" is very much a part of that larger narrative in which we live. A sort of approach to life that goes, "do whatever you want to do, as long as you're not hurting anyone else." It's kind of one of the big brushstrokes of narrative that we live in. Now, of course, in one sense, it's not the worst thing in the world, is it? Because in a broadly sort of socially liberal Western context, we can mostly agree to disagree with one another and pretty much rub along okay with our differences. But actually, if you were to take that worldview to a real extreme and push it to its nth degree, I believe we start to run into quite a lot of difficulties. Some of what we are seeing in the rise of right-wing politics, of populism, is taking this idea to an extreme of, you can create your own narrative, and who is anyone else to question your truth? You can even question the very nature of truth itself, or completely disregard the idea of truth as long as you are king or president, depending on where you are in the world. And okay, most of us are not dealing with it in that sort of sense, but on a lower level, we're all making choices every day that will often be quite self-oriented. You know, things that might have unintended consequences for other people. You know, just like one example would be whenever we buy cheap goods, there's probably some exploitation somewhere along that chain that has gone on with the people who have made them for us, for example. Now, the flip side of this being our own king, of doing whatever we want, having our own way, is that Jesus offers us an upside down view of it. And this is basically his life. It's that he gives us, by his life, an example, the ultimate instruction booklet, if you like, for how to build our lives. Now, we might not be making awful choices without reading Jesus's instruction book. But I think actually the real truth is that yes, we might not be like doing awful things, but actually by not reading the instruction book, we are probably missing out on something in life that is even better than what we presently have. And this idea of Jesus being the king and being kind of in charge of the kingdom runs right the way through his life. As you, if you've been reading Malcolm Duncan's book, you'll see all these parallels with Moses and others. And in just in Matthew's gospel, we see Jesus named as king by the Magi at his birth. They see a star that signifies a new king being born. Right through to the end of his life, where Pilate questions him and says, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And then hangs a sign on the cross that declares just that. And so getting our heads around what this upside down nature of Jesus' example is like as king is quite key. Again, Malcolm Duncan in his book Flipped puts it this way. He says, the character of the king changes everything for the way we understand what it means to be followers of Christ today. Because Jesus is modelling a very different model of what it means to be king and for us to imitate. Because he hasn't come to dominate us. He hasn't come to rule over us in an unfair or unjust way. Instead, Jesus offers a radically different view of power and of life. And we see that by how he lived. And we see it in our scripture today, in the invitation to follow him. And he's explicit about what that means for us. So verse 24 of our reading, Jesus told his disciples, "If anyone wants to become my followers, let them deny themselves, take up their cross and follow me." Now, Jesus as king doesn't have a golden throne. And he doesn't have some spectacular coronation because his throne, the point where he is lifted up before everyone, is a wooden cross. And the crown that he wore was one of thorns with a mocking sign declaring him king hung over his head. At that point on the cross, the king of the whole kingdom is submitting to the will of God. He is putting God's will first in order to bring about world-changing consequences for all of us. And he invites us as his followers to step into this same pattern as we live our lives by the instruction booklet that he sets us for our life. He says, instead of making it up as you go along, instead of trying to create your own lifestyle guide, I want you to submit to my way. And the consequences of doing that are laid out, of doing our own thing, are laid out again in this little short scripture by Jesus. He says, come and follow me. You know, you take up your cross to do that. And he says, if you don't, for those who want to save their life will lose it. And those who lose their life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world but forfeit their life? Or what will they give in return for their life? Jesus says, look, if you try and build the flat pack furniture of your lives in your own way, are you trying to save ourselves? We run the risk of missing out on what he offers. But by embracing the instructions, we might just find the deepest source of life, of peace, of our own well-being, and that of others and the world around us. Jesus says you can have every material thing the world can give you, and yet without him as king, we really don't have it all. Now, thankfully, in our denial of ourselves, we're very unlikely to die as a result of that. Nobody is going to come and nail you to a cross in Hanwell anytime soon. But instead, what we do undergo is that change and transformation in our lives. Because when we're able to let go of self-reliance, of our own kingness, and embrace instead this radical dependence on Jesus as our guide and the king of our lives, then we see change. We see a real difference in how we go about our daily business. Well, how do we do this? Let's try and get a little bit practical about that. How do we invite this process in? How do we declare Jesus as king? I want to caveat all of this by saying, I believe that this isn't a one-off choice that we make. I think this is actually something we have to do on a day-by-day basis. And I say that because life's experience of this for me has been that declaring Jesus as king is not an easy path to follow. Jesus makes that clear, right? And we all get things wrong. And I think we will always feel that pull between doing it our way and doing it Jesus's way. And I, for one, I'm very grateful that Jesus is gracious and forgiving when I get it wrong. But I keep trying on a daily basis because it is worth it. So in a practical sense, how might we do that? What could you do here first thing tomorrow? Well, I think choosing some form of prayer each day that commits us to following Jesus, of saying something about the kingship of him in our lives, is a really good place to begin. Many of you will know, if you've ever done sort of times of prayer with me, I love using the Northumbria Community's liturgy. It's nice and simple. It's relatively short. It's very manageable, but it has so much in it, so much packed. And this particular part of it is all about committing myself each day, because every morning, this is what I ask Jesus. I say, "This day be within and without me, lowly and meek yet all powerful. Be in the heart of each to whom I speak, in the mouth of each who speaks unto me. Christ as a light, Christ as a shield, Christ beside me on my left and my right." And what that prayer is designed to do is to deliberately orient my heart each day to kind of put Jesus there as king, to be open to following his instructions for life, inviting me to see him at work in everything I do, and to him to be present in all of those choices and decisions I make along the way. And I think if you combine that with some daily scripture, it's like what God does with that is God starts to open our eyes increasingly to seeing him in daily life. As we get to know more of the character of God in scripture and start putting ourselves in that place of looking for him, we're going to see him more and more. And I think that helps us to learn to rely and to trust in him. I'm running a small group as part of Flipped, and one of the things we were talking about in our group was finding those moments during the day where we need to say that short prayer, asking for guidance, for help, for strength, for Jesus to be present at the task in hand. And I think that's such a key thing to be able to do, not just in the morning, but throughout our day, because, again, it's those small choices that add up and remind us that there is a different plan to follow, not just our own. So the question I want to leave you with this morning is, how are you going to build the flat pack furniture of your life? Now, do you want to make it up as you go along, or do you fancy consulting the Maker's how-to guide? Are you going to choose to declare that Jesus is king in your life rather than yourself? A challenge for us all, but one to have a go at. Amen. And I'm going to lead us in something a little bit different this morning as our response. I'm going to take a meditation from the Northumbria Community that as we kind of listen to and allow the words to speak to us, I hope will open up some of these ideas. So as I read these words, I encourage you to sit. Perhaps you want to hold your hands out open to what God might have for you. And imagine this meditation is written from the perspective of God speaking these words over your life. "Many a ship has sailed from port to port with no interference from me, because strong will has been at the wheel. Multitudes of pleasure cruises go merrily on their ways, untouched by the power of my hand. But you have put your life into my keeping, and because you are depending on me for guidance and direction, I shall give it. Move on steadily, and know that the waters that carry you are the waters of my love and my kindness, and I will keep you on the right course.